Welcome to Power Play, on a day when fed-up senators took aim at a plodding-along legal system where hundreds of serious charges are being dismissed for want of a speedy trial. We will discuss the findings with a lead senator behind today's comprehensive call to speed it up. Also ahead on today's show, Canada's relationship with the United States is about to get tested on multiple fronts. We get a pre-summer assessment of what's to come from our ambassador to Washington. And a leading German news magazine insists, absolutely insists, our prime minister asked the German chancellor to remove climate change treaty references from an upcoming G20 statement. Trudeau denies he did any such thing to appease Donald Trump. Fake news or damage control? Our press gallery is ready to rumble on that question. And Canada's chief human rights commissioner leveled a critical blast at the treatment of prisoners across Canada today. She will join us with her recommendations for improvement. But first, a shooting at a ballpark just 11 kilometers from the White House hit the House Majority Whip Steve Scalise with critical injuries and hurt four others. The lone gunman died of injuries he received in the takedown. Here is how Washington reacted today.
We may have our differences, but we do well in times like these to remember that everyone who serves in our nation's capital is here because, above all, they love our country.
An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. We are being tested right now. I ask each of you to join me to resolve to come together, to lift each other up, and to show the country, to show the world, that we are one house, the people's house, united in our humanity. It is that humanity which will win the day, and it always will. God bless. I yield.
Joy Malbon is CTV's Washington Bureau Chief, and she joins us from the Bureau. All right, Joy, can you take us through what happened on the ground this morning and what you've learned about the gunman?
Yeah, we just came back from Alexandria, and this is an historic town, Old Town Alexandria, about 45 minutes from Washington, D.C. And what happened is this is an annual congressional baseball game, Republicans versus Democrats tomorrow. They raise thousands of dollars, a charity fund for kids and other different charities. What happened is at 7 o'clock in the morning, the Republicans were practicing, and it seems to be a deliberate act. One of the congressmen, a congressman called Jeff Duncan, said that a man came up to him and said, "Who's playing, Democrats or Republicans?" He replied, "Republicans were practicing today." He turned around, thought nothing of it, and then realized that the man he was speaking with was the gunman. Police aren't saying too much about this gunman. He's a 66-year-old man from Illinois. We learned from President Trump that he was killed. And many people are praising the Capitol Hill police because the government whip, the Republican whip, Steve Scalise, had a security detail, as do many leaders in Congress. And if it weren't for those two officers who return fire, many of the representatives who were out there practicing, about 40 of them, there were kids out there as well, staffers, aides. Otherwise, they said that it very much could have been a massacre.
Yeah, pretty scary stuff. Now, I understand the gunman was a volunteer at one time with the Bernie Sanders campaign. So I'm assuming when he asked, are these Republicans or Democrats, people draw the connection that this is a politically motivated attack?
People are drawing that connection because he left a digital footprint. Some of his social media postings were pretty derogatory towards President Trump, saying that he's got to be destroyed. And although the FBI has taken a lead in the investigation and will not say at this point whether it was an act of domestic terrorism or politically motivated, certainly, you know, piecing together all the different, or connecting the dots, so to speak, from the congressman who had an encounter with the gunman and what some of the other congressmen have learned in the meantime, they believe this is politically motivated. And that's why you're hearing a lot of these calls for unity. But we heard the same thing after Gabby Giffords was shot, what they described back then as a a political assassination attempt. Six other people died. She was a congressman in Arizona, still recovering. And, you know, lots of words saying we got to reach across the aisle. We're hearing congressmen today saying we got to do this. But then you're also hearing some scary stuff, like some Democrats have been receiving threatening phone calls saying, you're next.
Oh, man, doesn't sound like it's changing anything. I guess it's also unlikely to motivate tighter gun control. This seems to be an immediate call after these kinds of attacks, and then immediately it loses its impetus pretty quickly.
So sad but true. There's always that conversation. The Virginia governor, Terry McAuliffe, said, you know, I know it's not the time to talk about gun control, but 93 people are killed a day because of gun-related violence, and we've got to do something. Common sense, gun control. There are, you know, loopholes in Virginia where this happened and no background checks. Immediately, he was, like, vilified for trying to politicize the tragedy. Some of the congressmen who were at this game this morning were asked the same thing about gun control. And they said, one of them said, well, maybe I'm going to start arming myself. So, you know, it's almost like falling on deaf ears.
You got that right. All right, Joy, thanks for the update. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Don.
Prime Minister Trudeau gave his reaction to the shooting this morning.
Obviously, our hearts go out to everyone affected, the families, the community. Obviously, everyone in Washington, D.C. is no doubt rattled by this. Our thoughts go to the congressman, and we continue to work with our friends and allies in the United States on issues like this.
Well, with Canada looking beyond the U.S. on worldly matters and the 90-day countdown to NAFTA renegotiations ticking away, well, it's time for an update from our embassy in Washington. The ambassador was in town talking trade in front of a Senate committee earlier today. David McNaughton joins me in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Crazy, crazy day in Washington. I really can't get you to comment on the shooting, but I do want to get your thoughts on Canada's U.S. relations, particularly after last week's foreign policy speech by Chrystia Freeland, which sort of said, well, the U.S. is shrugging off the burden of world leadership. We're taking over. How did that go over in Washington?
Well, I think, first of all, what the minister said also was that we were thanking the United States for their leadership over the last 70 years, and that perhaps we hadn't done enough in terms of thanking them for their leadership. Also, I think it was really more not so much directed as the United States, is really saying, you know, we're facing threats and changes in the geopolitical system around the world. Canada needs to step up, and we're going to step up, both on the foreign policy side and on the defense side. So I wouldn't interpret it too much in terms of, you know, the U.S. And I didn't really get any negative comments at all. In fact, General Mattis said some very nice things about our defense policy.
So. Yeah, the spending. I saw Donald Trump, one of his press aides, basically tweeted that thanks to Donald Trump, Canada's taken this step. I'm not sure that had anything to do with it.
Now, this was a defense policy review that started long before that. This was a decision made in Canada for Canadians, and I'm, you know, obviously we consulted with the Americans because they're our closest ally.
I guess I'm curious, we're a couple months away from NAFTA really starting in earnest, and I wonder if you're getting any sense of clarity on what that will look like, how wide and all-encompassing it will be, and how much hardball is going to be played.
Well, you know, I think what's happened since the administration said they wanted to renegotiate, and we said we're quite happy to do so too, is that a lot of American companies, a lot of American interests have been saying, you know, NAFTA has been pretty good. It needs updating, but it's been a good job creator. And I think, you know, last week we heard Secretary Ross say, first of all, we have to make sure we do no harm. And I think that was very encouraging for Canada and for a lot of American companies who, you know, with integrated supply chains with Canada and with Mexico, I think they want to make sure that we do improve NAFTA, but we don't damage it.
I'm curious, we're looking at the bit of dread at the end of the month because softwood lumber, the extra duties kick in, takes it to about 30%. That's a pretty punitive price for our manufacturers to pay. Chrystia Freeland says we're a long way apart still. That sounds pretty grim.
Well, I think we are a long way apart. But I will say that Secretary Ross has actually been personally engaged in this file, and I really do get the sense that he's trying, and he's negotiating in good faith, as are we. I wouldn't say I'm optimistic about getting a deal, but we're still talking, and I think that's always a good sign because it's really important to Canada. It's important to many communities right across this country, and I'm still hopeful that we could find a way to make this go away for some considerable period of time. Well, you know, I'm always I'm a kind of glass half full guy, and so I it's important, and we need to dedicate all of our efforts to trying to get a good deal. Just we could always get a bad deal, and that's not in our interest.
Can you fold it into NAFTA, or is that it's still outside?
Well, I think you know some of the past disputes, or at least one of the past disputes, we used Chapter 19 of the NAFTA to have an independent review of things, which is why having independent arbitration of these matters is important in terms of negotiating NAFTA. I hope we can actually get softwood lumber, make real progress on it before we get into the NAFTA discussions in depth, because it'll help the whole tone of the conversation.
I got to ask you, I mean, Washington's such a circus right now, and I sort of wonder how Canada does business on something semi-boring, I guess, like NAFTA is. I mean, you feel a bit like the guy selling vegetables outside the three-ring circus. No one's paying any attention to you. Is it difficult to be heard nowadays?
No, you know, notwithstanding some of the so-called irritants, our relationship with the administration is very good. I never have any problems getting my phone calls returned. You know, most of our cabinet ministers have met with their counterparts. They get along really well. We're obviously in some difficult discussions, and that makes it challenging.